Good morning. We're thankful to have another opportunity to bring a lesson this morning as Brother John is having to work. Lord willing, he'll be back with us tonight, so we look forward to that. But for this morning, I'd like to study the topic of preferring one another in the Lord's body. And to start out, let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. We've been studying along these lines, some in our Sunday morning classes on being a disciple, and this is one of the teachings that we've recently studied. Here in verse 29, it says, Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know, we should be all considering how we are to view one another in the church, in the Lord's body. As disciples of Christ, many of us may have had to make that choice to leave family members or even lands for Christ's sake, as he mentions there in verse 29. But in verse 30, he says, we'll receive a hundredfold as his disciples now in this time, he says, houses and brethren and sisters. And we need to be asking ourselves, is this really the way that we view one another? Do we truly view each other as our family and think of one another in that way? Not just in the local congregation here, but as he says, there in verse 30, that we will gain lands as well. So we should consider the fact that we have brethren in other cities and states and even throughout this world, that there are those who are part of this body of Christ that we need to be considering as members of our spiritual family. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verses 19 through 22 here. He says, Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Notice in verse 19 how he describes us as being fellow citizens with the saints and part of that household of God. We need to realize, as he describes in the verses after that, how that God dwells among us. Together we make up this spiritual temple in which he dwells. And we need to recognize the special nature of this household of God and those who are part of this household of God that he describes there in verse 19. Colossians 1 and verse 18, as he's describing the church, he also describes it as the body. In verse 18, he says of Christ, it says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we need to be considering this group of individuals that we have here and that we have in other places as a body. And it describes here that Christ is the head of that body. There are several passages where he describes our role in that body. Romans chapter 12 is an important place that we want to look at this morning. Romans 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 16 here. We read a couple of these verses in our class this morning, and it ties in with how we are to be working with the body. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Of course, we see the passage here talking to us concerning brotherly love, and we're all reminded of that definition of the word itself, how that it means to be fond of natural relatives. That's the literal meaning of the word. And again, it ties back to what we read earlier, where we are part of the household of God, and that we truly need to be considering ourselves as members of that household of God and viewing each other as members of that family, and as he also describes, members of that body of Christ, that we are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Notice how he also says that we need to, in honor, be preferring one another. The word honor there is the word to value. And we need to consider what the Lord is telling us concerning our view of one another, that we truly need to be valuing one another. And of course, if we are truly valuing one another, would we not be preferring to be around one another and with one another? Verse 13, he describes one of the things that would happen naturally as we're valuing one another and preferring one another, that we're going to become aware of those necessities that may come up, and that we are willing to distribute to the necessity of the saints. And then he says that we are to be given to hospitality. You know, we know what it means to be given to something, don't we? You know, it's not just something that we do occasionally. It's not just something that's haphazard, but it's something that is truly that we do all of the time, and that we spend a lot of energy when we're given to something. And so he says here that we need to be given to hospitality. And we need to consider how each of us, as part of this household of God, what is it that I'm doing that describe me as being given to hospitality, and that shows that I truly am valuing the different members of the body of Christ. All of these things that he mentions here in this passage, you know, illustrate and should illustrate the deep love that we should have for one another in the Lord's body. And one of the things I would like to do with this lesson is to encourage all of us what we each can do better in preferring one another and valuing one another in these ways. And of course, this applies to me as well as everybody else in the congregation here. But we all need to reflect on how we are a part of the body and how we are looking at one another. And we need to consider the congregation here and the work of the congregation. We need to be considering, am I missing assemblies of the Lord when we are coming together as this body? Am I quickly rushing off after the assembly is over? Or am I, you know, spending the time with my brethren that truly shows that I value them as a member of this household of God? Or am I keeping to myself and not really relating and talking and encouraging others? You know, there's many ways that might come and show within ourselves, and we all need to be examining how we are a part of this body and looking at how can we each improve in fulfilling what the Lord is telling us to do here, and that we are fitting the description that we're reading here of truly valuing and preferring one another, and that we are given to hospitality. Of course, we also need to turn this question around and say, well, do we see others that need to be encouraged, right? What if we see those who are seem to be discouraged and not a part of the body as they need to be? And we all have a responsibility ourselves to reach out to one another and to encourage one another in this way. Do we go out of our way to make a point to encourage others, or are we distracted by our own situations in life and thinking about those things? And so it is very important for all of us to be recognizing how the Lord wants us to be a part of this body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he reminds us that we all are necessary and we all have a function in this body. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." We see it emphasized over and over, don't we, in this passage, that we are all members of this one body. And of course, as we read earlier, Christ is the head of that body. But he makes the point, if we don't have these members, well, then where's the body if we don't have all of these members? The body is not just one member, but many. And all of the members are needed. And we need to be reminded of what he says in verse 18, where it says, "God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." We understand the Lord is at work, and we need to be reminded that the Lord is working with each and every member in this spiritual body. And he's setting the members in this body as it pleases him. And we need to recognize that. And of course, that also helps to remind us that we need to be valuing these different members that the Lord sets in the body, and that each one has a function, each one has a need, and that we all need to be viewing our role as part of that body in building up that body and considering the members of that body. And as he says there in verses 25 and 26, he doesn't want there to be divisions in this body. He wants the members to have the same care one for another. Verse 26, if one member suffers, he says all the members need to suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members need to rejoice with that member. And so we all need to be considering one another and being close to one another as we're working together in the body. The Lord tells us as Christians that we need to love one another. We're all reminded in John chapter 13 of the new commandment that the Lord gives us. There in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." This is the command that the Lord gives us as Christians, that we look at that life that Jesus lived, and we look at how Jesus loved his disciples, and that we are seeing that love and growing in that love, and that this is how we also are dealing with one another. And he notes there in verse 35 that the world is going to see that. He says that all men shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. This is a very great love that is not the kind of love that the world has. And it's something that we all need to be demonstrating to each other as we prefer one another. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 27, he says there, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king." We do indeed need to love the brotherhood. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2, he says that we need to let that love continue. He says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." We need to let that love continue, and we need to let that love grow, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read verses 9 and 10. He says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." So just as the Apostle Paul was encouraging the ones in Thessalonica to increase in their love more and more for those of Macedonia, that needs to be describing us as well, that as we are continuing in that brotherly love, that we're not just continuing at the same level, but that we're increasing more and more, as he describes here in verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, he describes it another way. He says here, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through unfeigned and through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." This word fervently is the word intently. We need to have an intense love for one another, and that we need to be viewing each other that way, and that love needs to be growing stronger and stronger. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, he again is showing us here how this love works and how we need to be treating one another. In verse 8, he says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." So we do need to be looking upon one another with love, with compassion, that we are courteous and kind to one another, and realizing that we are part of this special household of God that's different from anything else in any in this world. In Ephesians chapter 4, another aspect to this love that we need to consider. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You know, a lot of times it's very easy for us to get frustrated with someone if they're not doing things quite the way that we would want them to be done, or perhaps someone has said something or done something that has irritated us, or it's against us in some way. What does he say that we need to do in these cases? Well, in verse 2, he says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, we need to do what? We need to be forbearing one another. We need to have that long suffering and that being able to put up with these things of other members of the body. We need to recognize that we are all growing and that we're not, we're all going to have our difficulties at times. And we need to have that long suffering and that forbearing with one another. We also need to recognize that the Lord, just as He is working to set those members in the body as it pleases Him, that this body is something that is special to the Lord and that He's working with the church and that we ourselves need to be working with the Lord's church, with His body, and not with the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, he describes one of the very common dangers that we all have to be aware of and on guard for. This was a problem with the church in Corinth, and so he's telling them what the solution is to this problem that they have. In verse 14, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So there in verse 14, we need to remind ourselves of what he's telling them here. Being that we do not need to be unequally yoked or joined together with unbelievers. We need to be joined together with the members of the body of Christ. Realizing that that's where the Lord wants us to be. And that's the work that he wants us to be doing as a part of this spiritual body, which he again describes as being a temple of God. In verse 16, he says, "Ye, you all together make up what? We all together make up this temple of the living God," where he says, "I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people." This truly is a unique body that we're a part of, and we need to be recognizing it as such, and we need to be separating ourselves from the world and from the unbelievers in the world and focusing on this body of Christ. What do we need to be doing with this body? Well, he describes that in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read verses 11 through 16 here. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So here he describes that goal that we all have of becoming complete, being perfected in Christ, coming to that measure of the stature of his fullness. But how are we going to get there? Well, it's all requiring us to be a part of this body and that this body is edifying or building up itself. And notice there in verse 16 how he says this body is fitly joined together. We need to be reminded that we are to be together. And it's important for every joint, as he describes in verse 16, to supply what is needed in this body according to the effectual, that's the word that we get our word energy from today, that effectual working, that energetic working in the measure of every part. So again, every part of the body is important, and we all need to be energetically working together and supplying the things that are needed in the body so that we can make increase of this body, as he says there at the end of verse 16, making increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. We all need to be growing in God's love and working with the body to grow in that love. He tells us this also in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read verses 23 to 25. Here he says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Notice in verse 24 how he says we need to be considering one another. You know, we can't be considering one another if we're not a part of the body, if we're not valuing and preferring to be a part of that body and preferring the members of that body. We need to be diligently considering one another to do what? And how we can provoke them to love and good works. That's that part of edifying the body and making increase of that body in God's love. And so we need to be considering one another. How can we all, how can I encourage the other members of this body to grow in God's love? That's God's purpose for the body. There in verse 25, he says, we can't do that if we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And again, that doesn't mean just between 10 and 11 and 11 to 12 and we've done our job. You know, assembling of ourselves together means we are in honor preferring one another and that we are there to consider one another and encouraging one another. And as he says here in verse 25, that we need to be exhorting one another. That word exhort there is a word to call near. We need to be calling each other near. And it needs to be not just today, not just Wednesday night, but Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 describes that exhortation that we need to be giving. There in verse 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." You know, here's another challenge for all of us, is to take this verse to heart, right? That we need to be exhorting one another daily. That's not easy, is it? When we are all busy with different things that we're having to do, we need to pay attention to this verse. The Lord's not just speaking the words here and expecting us to ignore them, right? He wants us to apply these words and take these words to heart. And so we do need to be working every day to be exhorting, calling each other near. Why? He says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Once again, we are reminded of the constant attraction and forces of the world and how it is Satan is out there trying to draw us away into his traps to make us fall. And we need to be exhorting one another, calling each other near to help protect one another, to not fall into those traps and those snares that the devil is setting for us. We need to be comforted by the mutual faith that we share with one another. We see this in many places in the scriptures, but we'll look at just one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking of Timothy and of his work there with Thessalonica. He says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So notice here how Paul and Timothy are very encouraged, and he says, comforted by the faith that the church in Thessalonica showed, and how that church there was desiring much good for Paul and the work that Paul and Timothy and these others were doing in the Lord. And we need to remember the encouragement that we all can receive from being a part of this body, but also that we need to be encouraging the members of this body in the work that we're all doing together. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, not Philippians, Philemon, I'm sorry, Philemon, Philippians 4 and verse 13, I'm getting confused here. Notice the terminology that he uses. He says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We need to be considering the work that the Lord is doing with the body, and the work that he's wanting all of us to be a part of, and that we are considering one another as fellow laborers in this work, and that we are assisting one another, encouraging one another, calling one another near in this work. In Hebrews chapter 11, as we bring this to a close in just a couple of passages, we want to consider what is that mind that we are to have as we're going through this life. Well, we can see one passage that describes that very well for us and how we need to view ourselves individually and as the body of Christ in this world. In verse 13, talking of those that lived faithful lives before the Lord, he says of them, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You know, this needs to be our mind as we live through this life, that we think of ourselves as strangers to this world, that we consider ourselves to be pilgrims here, that this is not our permanent place that we're expecting, but that we're going somewhere that's not here. And as he describes in verse 16, that we are not desiring a physical country, but he says a heavenly country, because God has prepared a city for us to abide in for eternity. That should be our goal, and we together as the body of Christ should be encouraging one another towards that goal of being there with the Lord for eternity. We'll close in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll read verses 17 and 18. The context here is that he's speaking of Christ's return and that day that's coming. And in verse 17, he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Once again, this word comfort here is that word exhort, to call near. And we need to be calling one another near, reminding ourselves of what our hope and our expectation is of being with the Lord for eternity, that this is not our home, and that we are working with one another to accomplish the Lord's will for us in this life, and that we are strengthening one another and considering one another how to provoke to love and good works. So we're getting ready to sing a song here in just a minute, which we offer as a time of invitation for you to consider to become a part of that body of Christ, where Christ is the head, and all of those members of that body are working together, calling one another near and working to build one another up in the love of God. And so if you are not a part of that body, we want you to consider what the Lord's purpose is for you, to become a part of that body and to begin that to run that race that he describes in the scriptures, to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith, and to work with that body to accomplish his will. And so if you are subject to that invitation, we would ask that you come forward. And if you have any other need, if you need the prayers of the congregation, we also offer this as a time for you to come forward. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing together this morning.